I want to introduce a good friend of mine. His name's Randy. He's going to come and speak this morning, Randy Lawrence Jr. And he comes all the way from Virginia. Yeah. And he's saved. Yeah. So those two things don't go together. But no, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. He comes all the way from Virginia, but he's our national youth director in the Pentecostal Church of God. And he has got a word for us this morning, and so we're excited to bring Randy. Would you guys give Randy a hand as he comes?
Amen. Well, good morning. How is everybody doing this morning? Everybody doing good? Well, great. Well, it is such an honor to be with you in this beautiful area of the country. I don't know if you guys realize, sometimes we forget when we live there, like how beautiful the place we live is, right? Like, you guys are really blessed. You're really blessed. I don't know which route I came in this morning. I came from the city. It's a little bit west. It smells like a paper mill, Lewis and Clark or something. But I followed this river, and it was really dangerous for me because it was so stinking beautiful, right? Like, I'm not even lying. One time I looked across and there was a bald eagle flying at eye level with me, right? And after I got my car back on the road, I was like, I got to stop and say the pledge or something, you know? Like, this is sweet. This is awesome. So I'm just really excited to be with you. It's an honor to be with you. I've enjoyed getting to know Johnny over the last couple years at youth events and met Pastor Arby a couple years ago. He came down to help us in the Appalachian Mountains, and the bishops, the Limeberries, have known them for a while. And so it's just an honor to be with you and to worship with you. If you've got your Bible, I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 11. The good news is I'm not a very long-winded preacher, all right? And I'm on Virginia time, so it's 2 o'clock, so I'm getting hungry. So, like, I'm kind of ready to join the potluck next door. Just messing, but I can preach quick if you listen quick, and we're just going to open God's word, and I believe that God's going to speak to us this morning. I'm going to look at one verse from Hebrews, and then we'll go to the Old Testament and kind of read the story about this individual. Hebrews chapter 11 is kind of what we call in the Bible, not the hall of fame, but the hall of faith. And that whole chapter is all about faith. And what they really do is they're looking at, like, the heroes in the Bible. They're like, these are the rock stars. These are our heroes of the faith. And talks about kind of what they were known for. In verse 31, one really stands out. In fact, some of us will read it and be like, did God really mean to put that individual in the hall of faith? But verse 31 says this: by faith, the harlot, Rahab, did not perish. Can you say that with me? Did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. Let's pray. God, I thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, I pray you just bring it to life so that we could understand it today. And we honor you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I love those words, did not perish. Did not perish. The last time that I checked the statistics, now you can go home and check it with Sister Google, all right? But 10 out of every 10 of us are going to die, right? We're going to die. We will die. But just because you die does not mean you perish, right? Now, some of us are going to die and we're going to perish. But what the Bible says in Hebrews that Rahab, she did not perish. She was imperishable. I want to talk to you this morning on imperishable faith. A couple years ago, I was home visiting my parents, and I was getting a little hungry. You've already heard me make 2 food references, okay? I'm 6'2", 200 and none of your business pounds, all right? It's a problem. And so I got hungry, and I started looking for a snack, which in, you know, your parents' house isn't that hard. I'm going through the cupboard. I find some trail mix. I'm like, this looks amazing. I get it out, throw one big handful in my mouth, and I thought I was going to die. Like, I run to the trash can, spit it out, go grab the bag. It had expired 10 years ago. 10 years ago. I'm like, come on, mom, dad, get it together, right? Like, get rid of this stuff. It had perished. You know, we're all going to die, but it doesn't mean that we all have to perish, right? Famous Bible verse, right, in the country, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him would do what? Not perish. And so we read about Rahab, who makes a hall of faith, and the Bible says that she didn't perish like the rest of them. And so if we want to have imperishable faith, let's look at Rahab's story. And so we're going to look at Joshua chapter 2, and I want to read basically where Rahab became famous, where we read about Rahab. Now, we're going to hop in verse 12, and they'll put the scriptures up for you. But let me give you a little bit of the backstory. The children of Israel are coming into the promised land. They're coming into a city called Jericho, and God had promised them that that was going to be their city. And so they send out two spies to go into the city and to just basically, you know, get the rundown. What's going on in the city? And so the spies enter through the walls of Jericho, and it's not very long. Somebody spots them out. Hey, there's two Jewish people. We know they're here, not by accident, but they're spies. And so they go to hide, and they hide in Rahab's house. And Rahab provides a safe cover for them. Rahab protects them. And so when she's getting ready to send them off, they make a deal. And we're going to read about this in verse 12. It says, now therefore, this is Rahab talking, I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I've shown you kindness, that you also will show kindness to my father's house. And I want you to give me a true token. And I want you to spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. So she's like, here's the deal. I've saved your life. I want you to return the favor. Give me something that's going to guarantee that you'll keep this promise. Verse 14, so the men answered and they said, our lives for yours, if none of you tell this business of ours. And it shall be that when the Lord has given us the land, we'll deal kindly and truly with you. So she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall, and she dwelt on that wall. And she said to them, get to the mountains, go to Idaho, right? Let the pursuers meet you. Hide there for 3 days until the pursuers have returned, and afterward you may go your way. So the men said to her, we will be blameless now of this oath of yours, which you've made us swear, unless, everybody say unless. Unless when we come into the land, you bind this line of scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, unless you bring your father, your mother, your brothers, all your father's household to your own home. So it will be that whoever goes outside the doors of your house into the streets, his blood's going to be on his own head, will be guiltless. Whoever's with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head if a hand's laid on him. And if you tell this business of ours, then we're going to be free from the oath you've made us swear. Verse 21, she said, according to your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet cord in the window. How can we have imperishable faith? I want to give you three things. Number one, you got to find it. Everybody say, find it. You got to find it. You got to find it. They make this deal. Rahab saves these spies, and she says, make me a promise now that when you come back, because I know the city's going to be destroyed, but I don't want to die, and I want my family to die. And they said, okay, we make a deal with you. And they said, here's how this is going to work. We're going to give you this scarlet cord right here. Everybody say scarlet. Scarlet. Give you this red scarlet cord that needs to hang from your window. And when we come back, when we see that cord, not only will we save your life, but everybody else who's in the house. You see, it wasn't just by accident. They just didn't pick a random color. It was symbolic, okay, of red in the scripture, which is symbolic of the blood of Jesus. All throughout scripture, we've had this promise of this hope that when everything else is falling apart in our world, when everything else is failing, when everything else is missing, we can find something that can be an anchor for us, the Bible says. An anchor of our soul, Hebrews says. But you got to find it. Everybody say, find it. You got to find it. See this, it was symbolic of the blood of Jesus. And it was basically saying this, Rahab, here's the deal. When we come back, if we see the blood, you're going to be safe. See, Moses said the same thing. God said to Moses when the last plague was coming to the Egyptians, he said, Moses, go home. Tonight is going to be a bad night. All the firstborn of the animals, all the firstborn of humans, they're going to die. But if you will tell your people to put the blood on the door, when I see the blood, I'll pass over. There'll be protection. You know, in 2 weeks, what are we going to celebrate? We're celebrating, right? Easter, right? I mean, come on. For us as Christians, that's good news, right? Because what are we celebrating? We're celebrating not only did Jesus pave a way for us, but then he came back to life. And so this is our hope. This is our freedom. This is everything for us. You know, in our world today, if I know anything, people are looking for hope. They're looking for hope. What did Rahab say? Verse 8, she said this, I know that the Lord has given you this land. And watch what she said. She said, terror has fallen on all of us. Kind of sounds a little bit like the nightly news, right? Fear, uncertainty, right? What's going to happen? I'm not really sure. And Rahab, what she said is really what I want some hope. I want some assurance. How many's glad in the middle of the chaos you can find it? You can find hope. You can find assurance. You can find peace. And as a believer, hope is something that we should always be known for, right? Just slap your neighbor and just say, hey, you're a hope dealer. Come on. You're a hope dealer. Paul said to the church in Colossians, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Come on, somebody. Christ in you equals hope. And what our world today, they need hope. They're looking for hope. Peter said you should always be ready to give people an answer for the hope that you have. Let me ask us a question today. What are you looking to as your source? As your source. You know, I'm in Virginia now. I'm in Southwest Virginia. We got mountains too. They just look a little bit different, all right? For the last decade, I've been in the concrete jungle of Dallas-Fort Worth, okay? And so, you know, like when I would do my banking and stuff, it was all done right here. Like, I mean, I hadn't been in a bank in years. And so when I moved back home, I had to go into the bank. And so I was going in, taking a deposit, and I just, you know, waiting on the teller, looking around, and they've got these little signs in the bank. I'd never seen them before. And it basically said, big, bold letters, FDIC. And I was like, oh, cool. What's that mean? And I read in fine print, and it said, this bank is backed by full faith and credit in the United States government. And that's exactly what I did. I started laughing. I was like, I never read this before. That's hilarious. The teller's like, are you okay? I'm like, oh, I'm fine. Just, you know, keep carrying on. But, you know, there's a lot of us that have artificial hope, right? Listen, in the world we live in today, you better find where your real, genuine hope is, right? Because if our hope is in a person or a political party or a bank account or a retirement account, honey, you got your hope in the wrong place. And the spy said, Rahab, here's the deal. If I don't see the cord, if I don't see it hanging, I can't promise that you won't perish. Everybody say, find it. You know, a couple years ago at Christmas time, we started a new tradition in our home, and we took our kids. We were big spenders. We took them to Dollar Tree, all right? And we're like, here's the deal. I got four kids. That's why my hair stands up, all right? And so we're like, you each get to go in, and you get to buy a gift for your siblings. And you know what is crazy is our kids had the most fun experience ever going into Dollar Tree, right? I mean, they really had a blast picking out these toys. And so when we sat down at Christmas, before we let them open up all the other expensive gifts, we let them start with their simple gifts. And they had so much joy opening up these goofy little gifts. And my son went first, and he opened a gift from his younger brother. He was the first one to go. He opened up, and it was a yo-yo. And he got it out, and he's like, oh, man, I've been wanting this yo-yo. And so before he got it out, I had to be dad, right? I'm like, give me that yo-yo, right? I was like, give me that. I was like, you get, and they gathered around. I was like, oh, now I got an audience. I'm like, it's on. And so I tied that thing up, and I'm like, watch that. And I flung it down. I was going to do some type of really cool trip. Well, that yo-yo hit the bottom of the string and went flying across the rest of the house, right? And there I'm standing with this string, and I look up, and my son actually starts crying. He's like, I really wanted that yo-yo. And I was like, well, son, here is the deal. This yo-yo, I'm holding the string, is a cheap imitation. It's a cheap imitation. I was like, we will go to Walmart, bless God, and we will spend $5 and get you a real one. Come on. You know, our world is full of cheap imitations when it comes to hope. We're like, if I could just have a better husband, if I could just have a better job, if I could just get my paycheck to move one decimal to the other place, then I'd be happy, then I would be at peace. Listen, if you don't find this, the rest doesn't give you hope. It doesn't give you peace. It doesn't give you peace. It won't work. I was preaching a couple years ago, and was out in San Francisco, and I went to pick up my rental car. And I was in San Francisco, and they gave me my rental car, went out, and as soon as I opened the door, man, a cloud hit me in the face. And it was not a Shekinah glory cloud, all right? It was a cannabis cloud, all right? I mean, so I went back. I was trying to be respectful. You know, I was just like, hey, is there any way I could swap cars? And they're like, well, what's wrong? Is something wrong? I'm like, you know, I signed up for, you know, the economy card, not the medicinal card. You know, you're gonna have to swap me out. And so they swap me out. But you know, in our world today, on every, I don't know about where you live, but where I live, on every corner, in every community, there are people that are just desperate. What will give me hope? What will give me security? What will give me peace? And listen, hear me today. It's the same as it was for Rahab. There's only one place that you can put your hope in, that you can put your security in, that you can say, this is what my hope is. Everybody say, find it. Find it. You know, there's a story a couple years ago of a very wealthy man, and he shared one of his hobbies with his son. They were collectors of very famous artwork. And so him and his son would literally travel the world, and they would pick up paintings of Picasso and Van Gogh, and they would collect this artwork. His wife had passed away. It was just him and his son. And he collected one of the world's finest art collections. Well, in the winter of that year, his country went to war. His son got drafted, and his son went away. And about a month later into the war, he received a telegram. It was the news that no parent wants to receive, and that was that your son is missing. We're not sure if he'll be alive. And a week later, he got the terrible news that his son has passed. And the father actually fell into a deep, dark depression. Winter set in, and then on Christmas Day, he was there. He wasn't even celebrating, just mourning the loss of his son. He gets a knock on the door, comes to the door, and there is a soldier. And the soldier says, sir, could I come in for a moment and have a moment of your time? And he was holding a package, and he said, I knew your son. He said, your son was actually trying to help save me. He was a medic. And he said, he told me while we had a little bit of time together of the great love that you guys had for art. And he said, I'm an artist myself. I wanted to give you this gift. He opened it. It was a painting of his son. And the father was so moved by this painting of the son, he said, I'm going to cherish this forever. It's gone on the number one place in my house, right over the fireplace. And to be honest, the picture wasn't much compared to all the masterpieces, but for the father, it was his favorite, right? It was his favorite. A couple years later, the man passed away, and literally people came from all over the world for the estate auction because they wanted these masterpieces of art. And so the auctioneer gets up, and as he starts the auction that morning, he goes, all right, I know you're anxious. He's like, we're going to do this, but we got to start. The very first piece is right here on top of the fireplace. It's the picture of this young war person. And so this soldier, and so he said, who would give me $100? We're going to start out with $100, and nobody would say anything. And he said, well, come on, let's get it started. Can somebody give me 50? And people were getting restless in the room, and people were saying, come on, let's get on with the real auction here. We want to talk about the masterpieces. And finally, somebody spoke up in the back, and he said, I'll give you $10. That's all that I have. He said, I worked here as the gardener. I'll give you $10. And he said, okay, $10. Gone once, gone twice, sold. The room erupted because people were ready for the real auction. And the auctioneer said, I want to thank you all for attending. This is the end of today's auction. Thank you for coming. And they said, what do you mean? There's millions of dollars here of artwork. And he said, according to the will of the Father, he who takes the Son takes it all. He who takes the Son takes it all. Come on. How many's glad you can find it? Amen. You can find it. Everybody say find it. Point number two this morning, not only do you got to find it, but you got to bind it. Everybody say bind it. They took this scarlet cord and they said, here's the deal, Rahab. If you take it, we got to see it. We got to see it when we come. It's got to be hanging out your window. And if not, it's on you. It's not on us. It's on you. And so the Bible says Rahab went home. She took that cord and she set it on the coffee table. And she said, she gathered her family around and she said, hey, everybody else is going to die, but we got a way out. It's this right over here. I got to tie it on the window. You guys remind me when I get around to it, we're going to tie that on the window. Come on. When I get enough time, when I get my life together, come on. Everybody say, you know, Pastor, I really want to get to church, but I want to get my life together first. It's not the God we serve. Not the God we serve. Our verse from Hebrews says, by faith, Rahab the what? The harlot. Come on, Rahab the harlot. Those two do not go together, right? But listen, this is the God we serve. God says, whosoever will, let him come and I'll give you life. And Rahab says in this moment, she took the cord, and what did the story said? She bound the scarlet cord. Everybody say bind it. You see, we have got to get this inside of our hearts. And let me ask you some questions this morning. Where is faith on your priority list? Where is God on the list of your life goals and your priorities and all the things that we're working on? What are we looking to for your source? Let me ask you, have you checked your not lately? Have you checked your not lately? I think Rahab got up in her house and I think she called a family meeting. All right, and you don't mess with mamas, right? And I think mama called a family meeting and she said, you see this, boys and girls? You see this, knucklehead brothers? Okay, for sure she got her husband's attention, all right? And she said, listen, this is our way. This is the way. This is the only way. There's no other options. This is how our family is going to survive, and it's going to be tied from this window. And then she probably gave her kids the stink eye, and she said, don't play ball near this rope, okay? Don't be horsing around near this rope, because this is our lifeline. It was her priority. But see, the problem in our world today, come on, can we be honest? Is we just got so much going on. We got, oh, Pastor, I really want to come, but man, it's going to be 80 this weekend. Come on, somebody. The fish are biting. Anybody ever heard this one before? My kids got a tournament. They just got a tournament, Pastor. Come on, I'm there with you. I got four kids. I love them. I love them. They're heavily involved in sports. But I've made a promise to myself. I won't teach my kids how to bat a ball, cast a pole, and not teach them about the priority of God. Of God. She said, this is important to us. Our faith is important, and it means something. And listen, it's very biblical. It's scriptural, okay, to examine. Paul, in fact, said it like this to the church in Corinthians. He said in 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. The Message translation says, give yourselves regular checkups to really make sure. Here's why it's important to examine, to make sure that our faith is strong, that our priorities are in the right place, is because it's really easy to drift, right? Really easy to drift. I don't know, you guys, because you're in God's outdoor water park, right? You probably don't have indoor water parks, but like in the boring part of the country, right? Where they don't have God's playground, they make artificial playgrounds. And so when you take your kids to these artificial playgrounds in the summer, these water parks, all the parents flock to one ride. You know what it's called? The Lazy River Ride. I mean, it's just like an immediate, like all the dads like, we're gone. Because you know what you do in the Lazy River Ride? You do nothing. Right? You do absolutely nothing, but you still get a ride, right? Because you get in and you start flowing with the current. Here is the deal. if you, sometimes we find it, but we don't work really hard on binding it, okay? And if you just go along with the current of this world, listen, the world's current will rapidly pull you in the wrong direction. It will pull on you and tug on you and pull for your heart, because there's so many things competing for our heart. That's why Rahab said, I'm binding this cord. From now on out, she's like, there's going to be a change in our house. There's going to be a change of priorities in our house, because I have found what I've been looking for. You see, friends, a religious knot's not going to work. Knot of religion won't work. But only true faith in Jesus Christ. Everybody say, find it. Everybody say, bind it. Number three, say, get behind it. Get behind it. Find it, bind it, get behind it. Verse 19, I love this promise from the spies. They're like, not only are you going to be saved, but she said, whoever. Everybody say, whoever. Whoever is with you in the house. Everybody say, in the house. Man, turn to your neighbor this morning and give him a high five and say, you made it in the house. You made it in the house. You made it in the house. Now listen, I know coming to church doesn't make us a Christian, right? It doesn't make us a Christian. I don't even know what restaurant to reference. Do you guys have Burger King's here? No? Do you have McDonald's? You have Nom Nom, right? Oh, gosh. Where do you go and eat? Where? The house. Okay. Well, if you had a McDonald's, okay, a make-believe McDonald's, we could go there every day, right? We couldn't. But if we went in this make-believe McDonald's every day, it still would not make you a Big Mac, right? Like, I mean, you might look like a Big Mac, but it wouldn't make you a Big Mac. So high five, you came to church. Church doesn't make us a Christian, right? Doesn't make us a Christian. But listen, there is a safety and there is a protection of getting in the house. Everybody say, in the house. And so she's like, Rahab, listen, here's the deal. It's going to be salvation for you, but don't just keep it to yourself. Go get your mothers and your brothers and your uncles, the nasty uncle that you don't like, right? And go get them and compel them to get in the house. Get in here. Listen, what a season it is. If you're in this house and you call yourself believers, now is not the time for us to just, hey, let's just, I don't know if I should invite my neighbor or not. You know, they kind of will be alone. No, invite them to get in the house. Invite them to get in the house. And Rahab knew that she had found it, and she got behind it. You see, it's time for us to get behind the mission of the church. To get behind the mission of the church. The church is the hope of the world. The church is the hope of the world. The churches are the hopes of our communities. Listen, the answer for America is not... It's not some radical change in the economy. It's not some radical new politician. The answer for America is the hope of Jesus Christ, right? And it's the message of the church who offers hope to our communities. That is the answer. Well, Pastor, church is just full of hypocrites. Why don't go? Normally I say, well, there's hypocrites at Walmart, but you don't have a Walmart. If you had a make-believe Walmart, though, it would be full of real hypocrites. But you would still go, and you'd still get what you need. The church is not a perfect place. Everybody think about Noah's Ark. Can you imagine? Yeah, I referenced the other day with them, I can't wait to get to heaven and watch some Hulu Heaven, right? Because I want them to pull up the trip on Noah's Ark. I mean, you talk about a trip, right? All of those animals in such a tight place. How many knows that was a stinking boat, right? I mean, it had to smell terrible, right? There had to be fights between the animals and probably the humans, okay? But how many knows it was the only thing floating? The church will never be a perfect place. It can never be a perfect place, because the minute we walk in it, it's not perfect anymore. But listen, what the church is, it is a message of hope for the world. So get behind it, right? Get in, become a fan of the church. Listen, I want to teach my kids, be a fan of the church. Love the work of God. Get behind the message of the cross. A lot of times you'll hear parents, well, I just don't want to pressure my kids, you know. Don't want to pressure them. Don't want to pressure them. But we find time for everything, right? We find time for everything. Well, I'm afraid Walt Disney's taking the kids away from church. No, your sports teams are taking the kids away from church. They've been doing it for a long time. And we've just been sent back, well, I want them to get a scholarship, Pastor Randy. On the rare occasion that they would get one, their scholarship is not going to get them into heaven. They can't take their scholarship into heaven. They can take this, though, okay? And when they watch what is a priority for us, they can say, you know what? I know where my hope is. I know where my security is. It's right here, right? Everybody say, get behind it. Get behind it. Get behind the message of the gospel. You know, we have to stop for a second, especially in our world today, and say, is faith a priority for me? How important is it? Because we have to find it. Everybody say, find it. Everybody say, bind it. And say, get behind it. You know, now in America, now it's not the time to just allow the things of the world to just lull us to sleep, right? Because now is the time that we go all in. You know, the other day, can the musician come maybe? And I'm going to wrap up. I was coaching my 10-year-old basketball team. And my youngest son was playing. And here's how, if you've ever coached a little kid's team, all right, it's quite entertaining, right? And so my 10-year-old team's out there, and we're just going at it hard. And we were getting beat pretty bad, all right? And so the way it works in 10-year-old basketball is you're not allowed to do a full-court press. Anybody know what a full-court press is, right? Like play defense on the whole side of the whole court. But in the last 2 minutes of the game, all right, you can do a full-court press. And so here I am with my 10-year-old team, and it gets to the last 2 minutes of the game, and the parents of my players are going bananas, all right, because they want their kids to press. And I was like, guys, look at the scoreboard. I'm like, we're losing by 15 points. We've not scored 15 points all year long in a whole game. So I'm like, we're just, it's not going to work for us, right? But I appreciated their passion, right, because their passion was, Let's go all in, right? Let's go on. Listen, when we talk about hope, when we talk about our faith and getting behind it, it is time for us to go all in. Are you with me? It's time for us to go all in. Maybe you're here today and you say, you know what? I need hope. My family needs hope. Somebody here today, you feel like I'm clinging to hope. Let me tell you, you're clinging in the right place. Don't give up. Don't give up. You know what else I did this morning, and then we're going to pray, is because I'm on the West Coast, when I got up really early to drive here, I could watch the live stream of my home church. And so it's probably why I ran off the road when I saw the eagle, okay, because I'm listening to church, looking at the river, looking at the eagle. Then my heart was just overwhelmed this morning as I was thinking about this message, thinking about the Easter season. And then at home in the pulpit that I get to share every weekend, this morning my younger brother was preaching. And what meant so much was because just 8 years ago, he was on his deathbed. Not from a physical illness, because the world had just pulled him in the direction that he never wanted to go.
I mean, I remember being in my parents' home, watching the paramedics work on him, trying to revive his life from drugs. And for over a decade, that was all that he knew. There were days when my parents did not know where he was, if he would live. But I'm telling you, there is a hope that if you will hold on to and you will reach out to, God cannot fail. He will not fail. And the power, the same power that Rahab found that day that changed her life and the life of her family, it's available for you and I. And I'm telling you, listen, it is real deal. It is a real deal. Amen. Would you stand with me today? Father, I'm so grateful this morning for the message of the cross. I'm grateful today for the hope that we have in the blood of Jesus. Because it's not just a story. But when we reach out and we experience that hope, the power, it becomes so real to us. Thank you, God, that we can find it, we can bind it, we can get behind it. Where every head is bowed and every eye is closed this morning, maybe you came in here this morning and you would say, Pastor Randy, I want to be raw honest with you. I do not have that hope. I do not have the assurance that if I would leave this room today, and for some reason, if I'd pass away, I don't have that hope that's like an anchor that you are talking about. But I want to find it today. I want Jesus to be the Savior of my life. I want to confess my sins, and I want to invite Him to be my Savior. I've been looking for a lot of things that would bring me peace, but my heart's really empty this morning. But I feel something tugging on me. And I want to confess Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I'm going to make it easy for you today because it is easy. God's already done the hard work. If that's you, while nobody's looking around, would you just lift your hands while nobody's looking where I can see it? Say, Pastor, I want to find Jesus today. I see that hand. Anybody else? Pastor, I want to find Jesus today. I want to ask Jesus to be my Savior. Thank you, Jesus. I see that hand. Anybody else? I need to find Jesus today. How many in the room? While nobody's looking around, and we're going to pray with those hands that just went up in just a minute. But how many in this room? Because what we're doing right now, we're having a holy moment. It's us and God, right? Us and God. How many in the room would say by the lifting of hand, would say, Pastor Randy, I want my knot to be tighter. I want my knot to be tighter. I'm convicted today from something. Something God has pointed out to me, and I want it to be a priority. I'm not even going to look, but I just want you to lift your hand. I just want you to look as a sign to God. Just lift it and then put it back down. You're just saying, God, I'm confessing. I want my knot to be tighter. Now we're going to pray, and I want everybody in this room, I want you to pray with me. These are for those who are saying today, I'm finding God. I'm finding God. Would you say this prayer, everybody in the room with me? Say, Dear God, today I thank you that you are the way, you are the truth, and you are the life. Today I come to you, confess my need for you. I give you my life. Come into my heart, God. I choose you today. Forgive me of all my sins. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Can
Can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning? Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Can we just take a moment? I think they're going to sing. And would you just take a moment right where you're at? And would you just take the next 2-3 minutes? And I want you to just thank God that most of in this room are believers. I want you to take just a few moments. And as they transition the service, would you just take a moment and thank God for knowing who He is, knowing the hope that He has, and knowing, come on, let's just do that. Let's just fill this room. God, thank you for the hope and the freedom. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father.
When darkness falls, it won't prevail. 'Cause the God I serve knows only how to triumph. My God will never fail. My God will never fail. I'm gonna see a victory. See a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord.
How many believe that today? There's power in the mighty name of Jesus. Every war He wages, He will win. I'm not backing down from any giant, 'cause I know how the story ends. I know.
You take for the battle.
Thank you, Jesus. Father, we worship you, Lord God. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory. And God, we thank you for the blood of Jesus, God, that goes before us, that makes a way. When our situation seems impossible, God, when the circumstances of this earth seem impossible, we thank you that the blood of Jesus makes all things possible. And Father, we thank you, God, for your great love. Father, we thank you for your generosity, your goodness, your faithfulness. Father, we thank you, God, that your hand is reaching towards us, God, in hope. Father, we thank you, God, that we're going to see a victory. No matter the circumstance, no matter the situation, no matter the challenge that we face, God, with you, all things are possible. God, with you, all things can work together for our good. Father, we give you first place in our lives. God, and if we need to change that, God, open our eyes that we would undo our priorities and redo them according to seeking your kingdom first. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. God is good, isn't he? Yes, yes. Hate to close service with formalities when it's this awesome. Even good things come out of Virginia. Thank you, Randy. Love having you with us today. Randy's awesome. I love his heart for God, for ministry, for people. And really appreciate I got to sit in service with my wife today. It's extremely rare for us to sit in church together. So that was a privilege for us as well. We have a few things we're going to look over. First of all, the Connect card today. If you'd fill that out, it's inside the blue folder you should have received on the way in the door. Front side is general personal information, whatever you're willing to share with us. On the back side, my decision today. And some check boxes there. I'd like to give my life to Jesus Christ. If that was you today and you responded to Randy's message, say, that was me. We'd just like to connect with you, answer any questions that you may have regarding that. So well, there's some other check boxes there as well, and life group serving information, and, of course, prayer request. And if you have prayer requests today, make sure you mark whether you want it to go to the email abroad or just to staff here at the Life Center. If you could start filling those out, we'll collect them in a few moments as the ushers come by for the morning tithe and offering. Also inside your folder, you have an offering envelope. And if you don't have one, would like one, they're back at the Info Center. You could grab one. But if you have a special, we're going to take an offering for Randy as well today, along with our regular tithes and offering. So if you want to give to Randy, make sure it's marked in an envelope. Pick it up at the Info Center if you need one. Everything marked to Randy goes to Randy. Otherwise, it will be in our regular tithe and offering that we receive weekly. So dig into your folder, see what's in there. Lots of information inside of the folder this week, so make sure you dig in there, check it out. Got to make sure I cover everything here. I'm going to invite our ushers to come forward, give you guys a little bit of time to fill those items out. Also, a big thank you to the crew that helped down in Lewiston this weekend at Impact Northwest. Greatly, Kari's clapping for you. Kelly's clapping for you. Thank you guys very much for helping Kelly and Kari. You're greatly appreciated. And yesterday morning on the panel, Miss Evely Schuster knocked it out of the park. Woo woo! So they had a group of young people on the stage asking them questions of what is ministry to them and what does it look like and what do they need from the church or ministers. And it was awesome just to hear from the next generation coming up. What does this look like to you? And just some interaction. So go Evely. Woo, woo. We won't make her come up here and sing or do the Pledge of Allegiance or anything. All right, I'm going to say a blessing over the offering. If you'll make sure to drop your connect cards in there, drop your offering envelope in there as well. Father, we thank you, Lord God. God, that we can come together, that we can gather, God, and worship and serve you openly in public. And God, we just thank you for the opportunity to give, God, back into your kingdom as you call us to do, Father. And we just give you praise and honor and glory for the many gifts, talents, and abilities that we have. And Father, we thank you for your generosity towards us. And God, we love you, we serve you. And we ask you to bless that which is given in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Also coming up this next month, April 22nd, is our highway cleanup. We clean up from just down the road here to the Kuski Bridge, about Dale's Cacheway to the Kuski Bridge. And if you notice, that section of road is really filthy right now. So it's going to take a big crew. It looks like somebody left Kuski and just started dumping garbage bags in the ditch. It looks horrible. So thank God we have the privilege and honor to go clean that up. So make sure you clear your calendar. April 22nd, 8 a.m. at the Kuski kiosk at the bridge. We'll meet there in the morning and then do our duty and due diligence of being good stewards of God's great earth and clean up our piece of highway. So thank you in advance. Also, the April calendar is out now. It's in the folder. Some things to check in there coming up. Holy Week starting down in Orfino at Cross Connections Church. That's going to start next Sunday evening. I'll be speaking down there that night. So put that in your calendar. And they're doing Holy Week service. The list of speakers and what they're doing is on the back of your calendar. There are actually two flyers there. And the other one is for a Soul Focus workshop, which is a by registration only. So if you want to be part of that, make sure you sign up early and jump in there. Woo! That's a lot, Randy. Yeah. We serve an amazing God, right? I love spring in Idaho. I just think about the many seasons we get to see all in one day. Like God just has a sense of humor. Oh, you want sunshine? Here you go. Just kidding. You want hail? Here you go. Just kidding. Isn't that like God just to keep us on our toes and keep us moving and keep us guessing and wondering, like, God, what's next? And when I see that, I just think about what's next in the spirit, God? What are you up to? What are you doing? Because we can look a ways down the canyon and go, okay, there's a little storm blowing in, but is it going to last a minute or an hour or a day or a week or a month? And for me, it builds anticipation when I think about it in regards to our spiritual life. God, what are you up to? What's next? And maybe the last season was a blizzard and we couldn't see beyond our next step. But there's sunshine coming. There's blue skies coming. There's clarity and vision lying out ahead of us. So get ready in this next season of life. What is God going to bring when you bind the blood of Jesus and put him first in your life? What does God have in store for you? So Father, we thank you, God, that we could gather here today. God, we thank you that we could gather in worship of your holy name. God, that we could lift you up with our voices. And Father, we ask that you would go with us, God, in peace. God, in comfort and blessing, Lord God, as we stride out into the week ahead of us, God, that you would give us opportunity to share your hope with the world around us. Father, we thank you for this. And we ask your protection, your safety, your blessing upon our lives as we go in your name.